What is good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Hopped On Sports. We've got a fun show here tonight. You know why? Because it's NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. A very fun time in sports. Everyone enjoys the dunk contest. Everyone enjoys the zero defense that's played in the All-Star game. But there's a lot more than just NBA All-Star game. You got the Daytona 500.
You do.
You've got Genesis Invitational. And I don't know if you've heard, Steven, but Tigers, he's back.
He's back.
Tigers back.
And you've got the XFL.
Everyone knows that we are the...
We are your new official XFL podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But like I said, we got a lot to talk about. Really excited. I've got one bit of beef I want to jump into as soon as we get going. But before that...
I do podcasts. I do a couple podcasts, and I always get to thinking what good podcast ideas there are out there. How good or bad or pathetic or successful could it be if we actually made just an XFL podcast? Do you think there's one out there? I mean, you think there's 5,000 people in the nation that are wanting to, they're thriving, they want, and I know one of them. I actually know one of these guys that wants an XFL podcast. If they're looking for one and they don't have one, you know, hello.
I was going to say, here's my thought on that, is you can jump on now, and if it takes off, it takes off because no one else is doing it, right?
Sure.
Or you do it now, and mom and dad are listening, and that's it, you know. So,
mom and dad, we love the XFL. Actually, I'm looking forward to exploring the XFL. I really don't know what's to come of it. It could be the next second biggest thing, you know, right behind the NFL. But
I do want to mention some things about the XFL. So let's pause that conversation.
But before that.
What are you drinking tonight?
Carbs. Liquid carbs. No, I'm going Old Faithful, and it's the best and the worst thing for the podcast because everybody is learning how much I love this beer, but they are not able today to explore new craft beer through my palate, and this is Old Faithful Dos Equis.
Dos Equis. Drink responsibly, my friend.
Oh, I love this stuff, man. I love it.
I don't blame you. I will say for the podcast listeners out there who are interested in craft beer and stuff like that, Steven and I will go to a liquor store before Monday's episode and have some different beers. It's been kind of a little slow lately with the variety, so it's time to mix it up. We got to throw in some pick sixes and get some different beers on here so you guys can go out and try it yourself.
To be honest, the only reason I'm drinking this is because it was the only beer in my fridge.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm right there with you because the beer I'm drinking tonight is a beer that we've had a couple times on here as well. Is the Uinta Noble Nectar, the 2018 special release beer that they put out there. And honestly, I'm glad because I do really like this beer. It's the Belgian style type beer. And it's just... 8.5%, anything that's 8.5%, I'm on board for. So, cheers, man.
Yeah.
Let's get this going.
Cheers. Let's get this show on the road.
Yes, sir. All right. So, my little,
dude, I don't finish that.
What?
Don't finish that statement.
Oh, boy. Okay. My beef that I had that I wanted to go ahead and get it going, get it stated right away. Is today in the baseball community, the Houston Astros continue to make their situation worse and worse, right? So they make their players available for interviews today so they can kind of clear the air about all the cheating that's been going on. And the owner decides to go ahead and go on record and say this publicly and make himself look like the biggest idiot ever. I think you possibly can. I mean, this is amazing, right? So after a few questions, he goes out and says, "Our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that."
Okay, so the first thing, I haven't read that. The first thing that stands out to me is the word game, okay? a little bit of a wordsmith, and I like to pick sentences apart and look at them from a little different angle. To me, how I hear that, what we did as the Astros, what we did as the Houston Astros did not affect the game of baseball. Versus what I'm assuming most people are hearing it as, what we did was not affecting our individual games or the scores or the outcomes. And let me say, I don't agree with either one.
I was going to say, I disagree with either way. Yeah.
I have a huge disagreement with that. I'm not as angry with the Astros as a lot of people are. However, to say that it did not affect the game, whether that be the individual game you were playing in or who knows how many games you used that tactic in,
mm-hmm.
Or the game of baseball itself, it's not an accurate statement at all. This is the biggest shakeup the MLB has had in years. Yeah. In years.
This could be the biggest scandal ever.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so interesting because it's like, Pete Rose just gets put on the back burner always, like every other year he's on the back burner, and then something happens and all of a sudden his name's back in the mix.
Yeah.
Somehow he makes his way into the news every year or two, and let me tell you, he snuck back in through this situation, and it started with everybody saying, look what the Astros did. Okay, look what they did, and look what Pete Rose did. Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. That's what baseball purists, not even just baseball purists, pretty much everybody that didn't despise Pete Rose is saying that. And even, I don't know if you saw this now, President Trump came out and he called for Pete Rose to be inducted into the MLB Hall of Fame. And I got to admit, I didn't read the article, but I saw it on multiple reputable sites. And who knows the context of that, but all the titles were President Trump calls for Pete Rose to be inducted into the MLB Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother conversation.
It is.
But I can't agree more that it is hilarious. Every time something comes up in this aspect where it's integrity of the game, Pete Rose's name gets mentioned. And that's just a tough look because you kind of hope people forget about Pete Rose for a while and then all of a sudden be like, okay, I guess we'll let him in. Instead of being like, oh, yeah, he cheated on baseball. He can't be in.
And, you know, I mean, he's before our time.
Yeah.
Really, he is. Right. But names like that, you know, and you've seen him play.
Yeah.
And you know what he did. And obviously a Hall of Fame style player. And the only reason I brought him up is, like you said, because of the integrity of what's happening in the game. You've got an owner of a baseball team who went through what he carried out, and he's still the owner of a team, you know, kind of a slap on the wrist, couple million bucks, you know, maybe some rules changed because of what he did, but overall he really hasn't been affected. I would assume when it comes time for the Hall of Fame induction, he won't be considered, which I think is fair. But last thing I'll say about Pete Rose is they've made a good point of let Pete Rose the player in. And don't let Pete Rose the coach in.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. I mean, he didn't do anything
that we know of.
He didn't do anything great as a coach anyway, so you're probably not going in there as that aspect. I get what you're saying. The player was amazing. The player deserves to be there.
But the coach,
the man doesn't deserve to be there, maybe. Maybe that's the way to say it. I don't know, but that's interesting. I wasn't trying to go the Pete Rose route, but that's a good point. But now you start thinking about this. Let me ask you this, and then we can move on from the Astros. I just had to mention that because they continue to dig themselves a hole. Instead of just saying, hey, we cheated, we're sorry, let's move on, you know, answer all the questions. They have no room to determine how long things can be talked about, but just throw it all out there. Put it out there, and then let's start moving on. Instead, they keep just almost masking it. I mean, when you say you didn't do anything wrong, or like you didn't, not necessarily didn't do anything wrong, but when you say it didn't affect the games, how can you say that? We've talked about last podcast, guys suing Major League Baseball for $31 million because he feels like his career was completely changed because of things that took place with the Astros. You're seeing this team multiple times a season, and they have an advantage over you that is affecting your livelihood. I mean, that's a big deal, man. I mean, and especially because we don't really know the timeline. They're being punished for 2017, But of course, we've talked about the 2019 incident where Altuve was holding his jersey tight so that his players didn't rip his jersey off because he probably had something under his jersey. And
how far back?
Last year, the walk-off home run against the Yankees.
Okay. I didn't see that video, but I understand. I can watch it in my head. You know, you look at the overall integrity of sports as a whole, though. Some of the most impressive moments to me through sports, and I'm not a Patriots fan, have come through watching what Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, those guys, watching what they've done together has been pretty spectacular. Right. They just have been a dominant force in the NFL. But then you look at what has gone on that we've found out about, and, you know, Deflategate was one of the first things that really opened the eyes of people to what all are the Patriots doing. And there was, you know, playbook issues before that.
Video recording, yeah.
Practices, yeah. Think about that in perspective compared to the Astros and how much bigger of a deal that has been made out of the Astros than what was of the Patriots. And, I mean, I don't know how to take that because Tom Brady is going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He is going to be there. And it's been proven that he cheated. But were there rules in place to prevent what he was doing? Was it really illegal? Was it NFL illegal or was it just unethical? You know, I mean, deflating some balls, make them easier to catch. There's multiple.
I mean, there are rules set in place of what a how much air can be in the ball and whatever. What is that? I'm trying to think of the
air
word.
Pressure.
Well, yeah, the air pressure of the ball. I mean, there are things set in place, and they're supposed to be at a certain no more, no less than a certain percentage. And I mean, they were clearly under, and you know that you're right. They got caught for it, and of course, evidence got destroyed. Whatever. I mean, here. They clearly got caught, and they're admitting it. I mean, at least with Tom Brady, they never were like, yeah, we did it. Instead, they just kind of wrote it out. He took the punishment, and they moved on. Here, the Astros are saying, hey, yeah, you caught us.
Like, yeah.
There's nothing else we can do. And then you got the owner saying something like that. It's like, dude, it sent me on just a really pissed off mood when I saw that. So
yeah, I mean, and I get that. It's a tough situation. I mean, especially as a Yankees fan who faced the Astros multiple times in the playoffs during their run and all this. But, you know, you live, you learn. It ain't going to happen. Well, I shouldn't say it's not going to happen again because where there's a will, there's a way. But
yeah.
Shame on the Astros. You know, we could talk about it a whole show. But
yeah, Major League Baseball did the most Major League Baseball thing today, though, with all this Astro talk going on.
Yeah.
They go ahead and drop a news release announcing the new rule changes in 2020. There's a few things on here. The most notable one is the three batter minimum rule, where a pitcher coming out of the bullpen now will have to face a minimum of three batters. You know, we kind of talked about it at lunch today. You're definitely for it. I think I'm for it. It will help with game time. And obviously with baseball trying to gain fans and things like that, obviously making baseball games a little shorter is a great way to go. So I think we're both on board with the new rule change, correct?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily see it as MLB trying to make the game shorter. It is going to happen. The games will be shorter because of this. They just want the pace sped up a little bit of each pitch. And I mean, depending on how you look at it, yeah, they're either trying to make the game shorter or they're just trying to keep people's interest, you know, keep people interested. And to me, I think it's a great rule. I don't think that you should just be able to bring a pitcher in, face one batter, and flip-flop.
I mean, take it for someone who watches, I mean, probably 130-plus games a year. And the Yankees having such a great bullpen, they rely on that bullpen at the end of games.
Absolutely.
Well, they bring in a guy to face one left-handed hitter or one right-handed hitter, and then all of a sudden it's a pitching change.
15-minute break.
And all of a sudden, yeah, it goes to commercial, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there like, okay, well, I could go start a load of laundry or something real quick.
Yeah.
Get up, all of a sudden you come back, and you know it's another commercial. You're like, oh, what happened? You know, things like that. It's just like you're losing the fans' attention. You're slowing it down. overall, I do agree that this is probably the way to go. I know it changes the game a little bit. Maybe this is not the old school part of me, that it's more the new school deal, especially nowadays with people's attention spans being, you know, that quick.
Right.
You
know, though, if I were in charge and I was the only person watching a game and it was my Cardinals versus your Yankees, I want to be able to change my pitcher as often as I need to. And if I want to,
right.
But, you know, I'm seeing it for what needs to be done for the MLB to acquire new viewers, to keep viewers, and just to make people happy overall. It's going to be a heck of a lot easier for the old dogs to get over this new rule,
right,
than it would be for a first-time watch, you know, a first-time viewer to go, seriously, we have to wait 30 minutes to see three batters, you know, because we've got three pitching changes. It's crazy. Because
at the end of the day, it is a business, and you've got to do whatever you can to make sure your business continues. So, I mean, I think the old farts will get over it.
Speaking of which, this is a business, and if we keep talking about baseball, we're going to lose all of our customers.
Well, there, it's a big story, so we had to mention that. But that is all I had for baseball right now. I'm too excited that spring training started, but we'll talk about more of that later.
Yeah.
NBA weekend. Obviously, I think you're a little excited for some of these events. I think I'm a little excited. I know you got the Daytona 500 this weekend, which I will be watching as well. So we just have to take one event at a time. You know, obviously NBA All-Star Weekend divides up into three different days. And, you know, skills challenge. You've got rookies versus sophomores or whatever game. You know, the 1 year versus 2 year players. Zion's going to be in this. Luka's going to be in this. Trae Young. Some really big names playing some basketball. I would say that I'm pretty excited for all these events, especially when I started seeing, like, the guys who were in the three-point contest. I mean, literally, Trae Young, Buddy Hield, just a couple, obviously, Sooners there. So that automatically gets my interest right out the gate. And then you got the slam dunk contest. And, boy, Derrick Jones Jr., one of the most exciting young guys right now in the game. Dwight Howard coming back to defend a crown.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, one of the most exciting dunk contests we've ever seen, 4 years ago?
Roughly.
Where he just absolutely lit it up. I'm glad to see him back in there. So, you know, and then you got...
I'm interested in hearing you try to pronounce this.
What, Pat?
Yeah.
I don't even want to try.
Weisenstephenheiner.
Yeah, Pat from the Bucks. I'll leave it at that. Dirty Pat and the boys with the Bucks. I probably should have looked that up beforehand. Anyway, very exciting. And then, of course, the All-Star Game. You know, new format this year, playing quarter by quarter. Quarter by quarter. And, you know, they did throw a little deal in there to honor Kobe and his daughter. One team will wear number 2, and the other team will wear number 24.
2 and 24, or yeah, 8 and 24?
2 for his daughter.
Oh, I didn't see. She wore number 2. That's really cool.
So, really cool there. Absolutely. Great way to honor him.
It's so interesting, too. When I think of Kobe, I think of the 8. I mean, he closed out in the 24. I mean, he started in the 8, and that was my age. I was young. I was growing up. I was watching a ton of Lakers games, and when Kobe comes to my mind, I see him in a yellow jersey with a purple 8 on it, I think is, I mean, that's how I visualize it. I don't know if that's correct, but.
Purple with the yellow.
You know, you think of Jordan with a 23, you think of Westbrook with the 0, I think of Kobe with the 8, not a 24. Everybody seems to remember the 24, but I don't know.
Well, I think we talked about this on the Kobe show. I think 2004 was statistically his best year, and I think he said that was the best version of himself. And if I remember correctly, that was number 8. He was number 8 then. So, I mean, you're not wrong when saying that. I mean, to say that he would be there wearing number 8 as the best Kobe version of himself, then I think that's okay to memorize or remember him that way. So, also, you know, we've talked back-to-back shows about Damian Lillard, and he's actually not going to get to play in this game. He had a
good
a hip deal, I believe, is what they're calling it, and so he will be sitting out. But it was a good deal here because Devin Booker got to step in his place, who is having one of the best best years, not just of his career, but of anybody to not make an all-star team. So definitely deserved to be there. And so I'm glad he's getting to fill in for Damian while he's out. So kind of cool moment there as well. And he's going to be in the three-point contest as well. That's another name that has got everyone super excited. Joe Harris as well, man. I didn't realize how great, how much I really liked Joe Harris until I saw him in the three-point contest.
You know, tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
What's that got to do with anything?
With Joe Harris.
Oh.
Tomorrow's your shot.
Shoot my shot, is that
Shoot
what you're
saying? Shoot
your shot. Okay. Noted. Thank you for that. But yeah, just great weekend. I mean, is this, in your mind, I think every year, even if I don't watch all the All-Star game or the skills game or skills contest and all that, it seems like I always at least watch a little bit of the three-point contest and then the dunk contest. Are you similar in that way?
100%. I'll watch a little bit of each event, and if it stays interesting, I'll keep watching it. I have a tendency to watch more of the three-point contest than any of them, with the exception of the dunk contest. I normally watch the three-point contest and the dunk contest. The skills competitions, not really. To be honest, they kind of put me to sleep. But
right.
The game itself, it really depends on what the competition is for the night. You know, if there's something fun to go out and do around the town, I'm going to go do that. But DVR, I might come back and watch the last quarter of it. So it depends on what's going on. But the game itself is sometimes cool, but normally pretty boring, to be honest.
And like I said, new format this year, so it will be interesting to see if it holds fans' attention a little bit longer this year, playing more of a quarter-by-quarter as opposed to a full game.
And I will be watching this year. I will watch the game.
Yeah. I'm just interested to see what it looks like. Is it something that is going to be a one year and done, or is this going to be something where, like, yes, this is the model we wanted, this makes the game more exciting, and, you know, I'm definitely for it. So is there anything else? First half, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the Lakers and the Bucks are the two best teams in basketball right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I still think that the Clippers are going to be a sleeper. I mean,
I think it's hard to leave them out.
I dogged on them the other day, and, you know, I only dogged on them because I had a little higher hopes for what their record would be currently. They're still playing great. They're still playing great basketball. I think that they have more fight in them than any other team. That's just my opinion. And in the past, I've seen that take teams farther than skill. Not always, but I think that heart and, the ability to want to fight hard is what gets you through hard games in the playoffs, especially because it's a 7-game series. You're not dealing with, let's go out there and play them once, and, you know, whoever wins goes on. It's, you know, you're playing for 7 games. Whoever's got the most heart has a good shot. Nobody's going to convince me that the Lakers aren't going to be playing with more heart than anybody this year because of what happened with Kobe. They're going to win this ring. They won it. But I like the Clippers still. I picked them at the beginning of the NBA year. I'm sticking with my guns. They've got too much talent, and what they have, in my opinion, that's going to help them more than anything is those guys on that team have ice in their veins. They do not get phased. And, yeah, they're not winning every game, but they've had some injuries. They haven't played full strength. And when it comes down to nut crunching time, these guys are going to go into a different zone. And I'm really excited to watch them play in that atmosphere. So
yeah, I agree.
I'm taking the Clippers. I think I think it's going to be Clippers-Bucks in the finals, but we'll see. Time will tell. I'll bookmark that and play it here in 4 months or whatever. So,
give us your pick on that. Give me your pick on All-Star game. Team Giannis or Team LeBron?
I mean, the West is going to win the All-Star game every year. Well, until something changes. That,
well, because this isn't really West versus East. I mean, it is.
Oh, but that, I'm sorry.
Since it's a team deal, it's Team Giannis versus Team LeBron, so.
Yeah, let me go look at the team.
Here's the teams. Okay. That I set up for you.
We've got, and I did notice that Westbrook made the team, which is cool. Looking at what I see right here off the top of my Team LeBron has
I mean, this one wrapped up.
I mean, it's just not, like, I'm looking at this going, was Giannis high going into the picks?
I'm telling you, we talked a little bit last show, but, like, the more I look at that, I'm like, it's not even close, man.
Like, here's the thing. There are some really good scores on Team Giannis.
Yeah.
It's almost like he went with the ability to score.
Well, see, a lot of people think he went with the ability to play defense, because start looking at some of the defensive guys.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, the here's the thing. The names are on the right side. I can't think of a name on the right side. Okay, the two weakest players on the right side are Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum.
Exactly.
That's DeMontis Sabonis is definitely the weakest player on LeBron's team.
Right. He's having a really good year, too.
And the best player on Giannis's team is Giannis. And the second best player, I would probably say, is Pascal Siakam, followed by either Joel Embiid or Trae Young. I mean, and then you've on LeBron, you've got Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic. You've got James Harden and Damian Lillard. I mean, Damian's not in, but my gosh.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I hadn't looked at that list. We had talked about it, but looking at it puts it into perspective.
Yeah.
It may as well be West versus East.
Right.
Like,
you're right.
Is Giannis just picking his boys? Like, hey, let's go. let's go play this with my buddies.
The more you look at that,
it's like West versus East.
There's a lot of West. Two players from the East on Team LeBron.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm going Team LeBron as well. I don't think it's questionable.
100%.
You got to go that way. So
100%. Yeah, we got a bunch of fun things coming up here. And actually, today's Thursday, so you know what? No, we'll make that announcement on Monday.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
We'll make that announcement on Monday.
We've got a big announcement on Monday that we're really excited to share with you guys. So
yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Daytona 500 is this weekend, and I don't want to dive too much into that. We've talked a little bit about it last episode. Oh, hello, Dos Equis. No. We talked a little bit about it last episode. My sleeper is Christopher Bell. Man, I just... He's from Oklahoma, and that doesn't have anything to do with it. But the guy's a good race car driver. He is a heck of a driver. He knows the sport. He's got a good car this year. It's his first year coming into the Monster Energy Cup for NASCAR, and the dude's got a lot to prove. He's coming out strong. I would have to say I think he's going to place top five if he's able to avoid the wrecks. If I had to pick a winner for the race, my winner would – I hate to even say it, because
give me two, because I got two guys too. Like two picks.
Here's the thing. Right now in this business, it is so hard to pick anybody outside of Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, or Kevin Harvick, because they just seem, the three of them seem to win everything. But going into this race, I don't know why, and what's interesting is I made my pick before I saw the poll, and somebody told me at work the other day when I made my pick that, oh, yeah, it was just announced. He won the poll, and that is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, the dude drives restrictor plate tracks like he owns them, and then everywhere else like he's never driven a car before. I don't understand it, but I think this is his year. I really, really feel like it's his year for the Daytona 500. But man, I tell you what, if I had to put money on a driver, and I would probably do Stenhouse, but if I had to take a different one, I don't know. Let's hear another one of yours because I want to think about it.
I'm going Brad Keselowski. First of all, I did a lot of gambling research for this, so that's one of the primary reasons why I went ahead and got on that train. But it's not the best position to start. But I mean, a lot of people are really big on him. I couldn't tell you much about the history that he's had at the Daytona 500, but for whatever reason, there's a lot of people who are on Team Brad. So
here's the problem, and Brad is in my top drivers. I mean, he's my dude. I'm Team Penske. I would be thrilled if Brad won this race, but it's not going to happen. He will not make it to the end of the race.
Yeah,
he will not make it to the end. He will 100%. He will be involved in a crash, and it's going to be a crash that he would have survived, but the grass is going to tear him up. I mean, it always happens. The guy is such a great driver, and so is Joey. You know, Penske's really strong right now. They got Joey, they've got Brad, and they've got Ryan Blaney. And, you know, and now the Woods brothers under Penske has Matt Diminadetto, and he's going to be doing well. He's going to be doing good things this year, but Brad is, he drives with a lot of attitude, and I like that, but at tracks like this, it gets you in trouble. It just, you have to pick your battles at the Daytona 500. And if you're not up front and something goes down, you're done. I mean, if you're in the top 15 and a wreck happens in the second place, you're done. I mean, that's all there is to it. You're going to get caught up in the wreck because everybody stays packed together. And when a wreck happens, it ties up 15 cars minimum. So, I mean, there's some incredible videos on YouTube of the Daytona 500 and some of the crazy wrecks that have happened there. I really want to pick Joey for this race. I want to pick Brad because I know that Brad runs restrictor plates pretty well, but he always ends up in trouble, and I don't see this weekend being any different, unfortunately. But I'm kind of going with the young guns. Ricky's not as young now. I mean, he's been in it for a little while longer, but I just have to think that Christopher Bell is ready to go, man. I mean, he is one of the most impressive cases of a young car driver that I've seen. And I don't think he's going to do anything too risky because he knows how important this race is. And what better point to prove than coming out and starting your career by winning the biggest race in NASCAR? I mean, it's...
Be a good way to go.
Yeah. Christopher Bell is just, he's the dude. And that's a huge, huge guess by me because you've not seen this guy racing with the big boys yet. So that's my confidence level in him. He has probably impressed me more than any other athlete this decade. I've just been absolutely blown away by what he's been able to do in the racing industry. And he's a dominant force, and I'm surprised it's taken this long for him to get a ride on the Cup Series. I don't see him having to stay with the team he's with for long because one of the bigger teams is definitely going to pick this kid up. He is incredible.
Especially if he can make, you know, some moves in this.
And he's right out of Norman, Oklahoma. I mean, he comes down, he races the Chili Bowl every year. He always finishes top two or three in that. You know, he's won it. He won it back-to-back years. And, I mean, he's just a stud, so it'll be fun. I really, really, really wanted to throw Eric Jones's name in there because I just feel like he's I'm sorry, Daniel Suarez, not Eric Jones.
Oh, okay.
Daniel Suarez, yeah. But if I had to pick three, it'd probably be them in order. Old Danica's boyfriend. What's the freak's? I just said his name five times. Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Stenhouse.
Christopher Bell, Daniel Suarez. Those are my picks. Kevin Harvick can wreck on lap two. I don't care.
Well, you're not going to like my next pick then, because I'm definitely going Denny Hamlin. You know, obviously, he's the one guy I actually follow at all, like on social media, and then just him as a driver. And I don't know. I just kind of, some of the things I've been said and things like that, I just really liked. And I was like, you know what? I think this could be his race. So those are going to be my two guys.
Yeah, Denny, we'll see. I don't see that happening. He is an incredible driver. I don't like him, but this is not his track. So we'll see.
Yeah,
he's capable of it. Definitely capable. He's got a good car. Chevy's going to be dangerous, though. Chevy's going to be there. We can talk about it all day. We're going to wrap up.
Yep.
You guys run over to Facebook. Give us a like at Hopped On Sports. Send us an email, hoppedonsports@gmail.com. Preston, you got anything else to close us out with?
Well, since we did claim ourselves as an XFL podcast, it is important to say that we will be watching this weekend. Really excited for Landry Jones to get his first start on Sunday against the Wildcats. And I'm ready to see some football, man. I don't have much going on this weekend. Besides, we are going to have a good weekend, so I might get out and play some golf. Besides that, I'm Team XFL, be watching some games.
You know, it would have been awfully clever if they would have named it XNFL. Because you know that everybody playing there was either an NFL reject or an ex-NFL player.
Right. That's a good point.
So, but all right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Y'all have a great weekend, and cheers.
Cheers, guys.